Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to what we like to call Friday Eve. It's the Sideline Junkies Podcast Network in conjunction with Clear Production Sports. I am the Midnight Rider. We got a special guest, Matty Ice. We got the big guy, KG. And today, everybody's saying Thursday night throwdown. Yeah.
Ah, when you can wait all week just to get that. That's all it takes. All week long. That's all it takes. How's everybody doing? Glad to have everybody here. Of course, we have the NHL and hockey aficionado, Matty Ice. And I've been looking forward to this. This week period, I've been looking forward to it. Not only do we have NBA playoffs, we got NHL playoffs starting up on Saturday. We got the NBA draft next week. We had the WNBA draft earlier this week. Man, this has just been – it used to be a time where this stretch was so boring in sports. But I feel pretty good about it. How you gentlemen feel?
Doing well.
Totally agree, man. It's been going, bumping, and now you just got to see what happens next.
Agreed. Really quick, couple of things. Scrolling at the bottom for those that are watching on video, for those that are in podcast land, www.buyfortmose.com, that's buyfortmose.com/discount/maniacs. That is our discount code to get you a little tasty beverage for these playoffs coming up. Playing games were absolutely awesome last night. Me and my wife watched both playoff playing games last night. Bulls win. Kobe White. That's all I got to say. We watched both games. We're going to watch both games again on Friday. So you need a tasty beverage for that. You need a tasty beverage for Saturday to watch the NHL playoffs to start. Fort Mose is your place. And speaking of podcast land, if you can't catch us live and direct on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, you can always listen to us the following day while you're on your way to work, while you're at work. You know, you're supposed to be doing some work. Put that earbud in. You can hit us up and listen to us on iHeart, iTunes, or Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Odyssey app. Of course, the big boys of Spotify, Radio Public, Listen Notes, Ivy.fm, the podcast app. Anywhere you stream podcasts, you can listen to us on audio. So there's no excuse why you're not up to date and you're not finding out why the Midnight Rider is a world champion of comebacks. And when we have these special shows, which this show tonight is NHL tonight, there's no reason why you shouldn't know going into Saturday the state of the NHL, what's going to happen in the playoffs, and how spot on Matty Ice is when it comes to breaking down the NHL. So instead of hearing my big mouth for the rest of the night, I'm going to sit back. I'm going to turn it over to Matty Ice.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate this. I'm not going to put my camera on because I'm sitting outside a rest stop on 76 just outside of Pittsburgh. So I'm flying with this off of my cell phone here, and I'm going to be looking at my notes while I talk. So it's going to be easier just to do that and not have to worry about watching everybody stare down at my cell phone. So, yeah, the season's done as far as regular season. Well, tonight there's still three regular season games left to go. Most of what's going to happen is in place. There's still a chance for some shakedown in the West to happen, but we'll get into that a little bit later. I think the key big highlights this year for the hockey is a couple of huge scoring things and attendance. On Monday night, the NHL set their record for attendance for the year. They're currently at 22 million plus. Of course, that number's gone up because that happened at Monday night. They're reporting all the arenas are 97% at capacity, which is great. I think what helps them get a little bit of a bump on these numbers are having those outdoor games where you get 50, 60, 70,000. Those always help the overall attendance numbers. But it's still great to see that the last 2 years they've reached new attendance records each year. So people are going to the rinks, and that's what matters most. On the ice, Nikita Kucherov, Tampa Bay, he led the league this year in points at 144, which is a pretty good number compared to some of the years past. Quinn Hughes was the top D at 91 points. The top goal scorer was, of course, Austin Matthews for Toronto. He hit 69, couldn't get to 70 last night. They were trying to feed him left and right, and it just did not happen. Had a couple of great goalie performances, too. Connor Hellebuyck was amazing in Winnipeg. Of course, Sergei Bobrovsky down in Florida. I think those two will probably be what we'll see going into the for the Vezina Trophy for the best goalie. And then, of course, you know, we got to talk about Ovi. You know, he had a very slow start, but he did end the year with 31 goals. And so what does that put him at? It sits him at 853. So he is now 41 away from Gretzky at 894. The last couple of years, he's been at that 30 mark. So, you know, he could get there next year if he has one of those years. But I think realistically, we're probably looking at two more years if he's going to pass the record, which I don't see him retiring until he breaks it. So I definitely think it's going to happen. It's within reach. So he's going to pass one of Gretzky's marks. But before I let you guys comment on that, we did have two players this year hit 100 assists. They are only the fourth and fifth NHL players to hit 100 assists in the year. But just to show how crazy Wayne Gretzky is with some of these NHL records that he holds are just amazing. And this is one of them. Like I said, these two guys are players four and five to hit 100 assists. Gretzky did it 11 times. Just let that sink in. He did it 11 times to what only four other players have done in the history of the league.
That's crazy. But back to the Ovechkin thing, I think there was a point that we were worried that he would only have 15 goals in the season. And I know we were talking about him having issues because the whole time he was trying to figure out, they didn't know if it was a hand issue. He couldn't get comfortable with the right stick for a little bit. So seeing this resurgence was great. Question for you, Matt. This quest for 894, that doesn't count goals in the playoffs, correct?
Correct, yeah. It's just regular season goals. So anything that he does in the playoffs does not count towards that mark.
Cool.
You talk about Gretzky, and I've seen a stat, and you can confirm this. If Gretzky never scored a goal and he just went off assists, he'd still be the all-time leader in scoring.
Correct.
Wow. Hey, they called the dude the great one for a reason. He is the great one.
Yeah, there's so many of the records that he has that I don't think will be touched. Being a huge Gretzky fan, I really didn't want Ovi to break the record, but you know, Ovi is such a great player, and he loves the game so much. Like you can't not root for the guy. So if anyone's going to beat Gretzky's record, I'm happy it's him. Gretzky's already said, like, once he gets close to beating the record, he's gonna do the tour with him. So he's gonna be in the rink when he beats the record, which I think is gonna be great for the league. So maybe it happens towards the end of next year, which would be kind of cool for it to be towards the end of the year. But my gut kind of says I think it's gonna take him 2 years.
I would love to be on hand for that. Couple of comments real quick. JoJo was talking about the play-in game. Butler got hurt, who was the seventh seed. Shaking my head, I really don't like the play-in. I get it. Felix Bassey commented, he said yes, when asked about the Gretzky goal. Not scoring a goal and still being an all-time leading scorer. JoJo, the great eight. Yep, and that's what he is, the great eight. JoJo also says, I hope my Caps can just somehow pass the Rangers. Somehow get past the Rangers. I hope so. And Felix says, I think he gets it in 2025. At this rate, I agree with Felix. And I think, you know, everybody said the same thing. If he sticks in this 30 goal per season, I think if he sticks there, I say 2025. Felix clarified, he said 2024-25, so that's next season. I mean, we don't know. Ovi came into this league a man on fire. Like, he was a walking highlight reel when he came into this league. He was a walking highlight reel for years. We might see, you know, a healthy Ovi score 50 goals next year.
Agree. If he's healthy, he definitely could put up another 50. I mean, some of it, too, is going to be who do the Caps surround him with. They're going to have a lot of cap space to play with. There's a lot of interesting free agents that will be out there this coming summer. So you know, I think that's going to be determined later of who is Ovi going to be surrounded with, you know. He's still, I think he's at his best when he's got a Nick Bastrom type player that can just feed him in his office. They got back to that a little bit, you know, towards the end of the year, which is what I think helped with his resurgence. So we'll see. I mean, can he do it? Absolutely. But, you know, the older you get, if you get injured, the longer it takes for recovery too. So I think that's going to be the only thing that could beat him is father time, because father time always wins at some point in time.
Jeez, you just hurt my soul when you said that.
Speaking of that, before we even get to father time, the Caps next season, do you think this run, this string of games that they put together to end the year is going to help them, and they'll get some momentum to carry over into next year, especially when it comes to the young guys like them, McMichaels and those guys?
Yeah, 100% it will. I mean, these young guys that, I mean, they've had a taste of playoff hockey down at Hershey, because Hershey's always had a pretty good run. So it's not like they're not used to playing playoff hockey, but there's a big difference between the AHL playoffs and the NHL playoffs. So just getting a taste of that, I think, will go a long way for them next year. They'll know, you know, what to expect. I mean, because really, I mean, it's really kind of weird to look at their roster, but other than, you know, the key big three, they don't have that many guys with playoff experience, which is, you know, they're not that far removed from their cup year, but that's how the league works now. So they're, you know, they're going to have some to bring these young guys along, and they'll learn very quickly of what the NHL playoffs are. But yeah, this will 100% go a long way for them next year.
Speaking of Hershey, I heard it's a couple of prospects down in Hershey for the Caps that can come up and make a pretty, not even, I'm not going to say impact, but I'm gonna say pretty big impact is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I'm not too up on the kids down Hershey. I know that there's a couple that I think that they're pretty high on for next season for sure. You know, I'll dive into them a little bit more as they've had their first playoff game last night. They beat Charlotte, I think it was 3-2 or something like that, in a pretty close game. So but yeah, I've heard that their system has always been well respected. I mean, Hershey always, they're always in the playoffs. They're always doing well in the AHL. So that goes to how the Caps draft and having those type of players available to come up.
So we've recapped the season. Let's talk about what many people call the greatest second season in sports, and that's the NHL playoffs. Let's start, since we know who's going to be in the East, let's start with the East.
All right, we'll do that. Well, you know, you have to start every playoff year with a reminder for any Canadian fans out there that a team from Canada has not won the Cup since 1993, when Montreal beat the LA Kings. That's the last time, you know, they've had a couple teams get close. Vancouver has been the closest with losing some game sevens. I'm going to go ahead and say it now. The streak stays alive. There's four teams from Canada that are in it. I don't see any of them winning the Cup, so I think the Cup stays in the U.S. again. We'll just go ahead and start with, I think, with the one that probably everyone here cares about the most, and that's the Rangers and the Washington matchup. The Rangers won the President Trophy, so that is the team that has the best record in the NHL. Good news if you don't want the Rangers to win. The President's Trophy winner has not won the Stanley Cup since 2012-13 when Chicago did it. So anyone that's into those type of jinxes should be pretty happy if you're not a Rangers fan. So I think that's always an interesting little thing. You know, the Caps, if you're one stat that's kind of weird for the Caps, they had the worst goal differential at -37 for any team to make the playoffs in the history of the league. So it's kind of, it's just one of those weird stats. Doesn't mean anything in the playoffs. Probably not. You know, it doesn't matter how many goals you win the game by. It just matters that you win. But it's a weird stat for sure. You know, I think the Rangers are so deep, and their special teams are so good. And when you get to playoff hockey, the power play and the penalty kill is what matters most. Of course, the Rangers are throwing out a Vezina Trophy candidate with Igor Shesterkin. So it's just going to be. I think the Caps are going to give – I think of the three teams that were fighting for this last spot, the Caps are the team that can give the Rangers the best fight, because I'm never going to count Ovi out of a playoff series ever. You know, as long as Ovi is playing in the playoffs, the Caps have a chance. But I think the Rangers are just too deep. I think my gut tells me I think the Rangers win this in five, but I could see Ovi and if Lindgren can get hot, I could still see them making it a 6 or 7 game series. I don't think any of the games are going to be blowouts. I think the Caps have learned how to play a pretty good defensive system when they're on their game. They've been on that game lately, so I think that's where that series comes down.
Yeah, I think season-wise, the Caps average like two-plus goals, and the Rangers average about 3 points something. So they're close in that number automatically. So I can see that happening. I actually think the Caps are winning in seven, and I think your star is going to be somebody like a Dylan Strome or a Sonny Milano, somebody that we don't hear about a lot.
Yeah, Milano's definitely come on the last few games. I've liked watching him play. He seems like he's going to be one of those players that I could see him taking a big step next year, and I really like the way he plays.
And Felix chiming in, he says, so true, the 98 Caps and the 2012 Kings made it to the finals with losing records. The playoffs is basically a new season. I agree 1,000%. Speaking of which, the Caps, it's a stat that was popping up all up and down my timeline the last couple of days. The Caps goal differential is the highest ever for a playoff team, negative 37.
Yep. It just means that when they've lost, they've gotten blown out. When they win close games, you know. But that, you know, it's just one of those weird stats. I don't put a lot into it for going into this. I don't think that's gonna make or break the thing. But you know, I think it's gonna come down to the special teams. I just think the Rangers special teams are better than the Caps special teams right now, and that's where the series is gonna be won.
All right. So what's our next matchup?
We'll go with Florida and Tampa Bay, you know, for good old Paul Cordova out there. I'm sure he's super. He's one of the ones that did not want the Panthers to win the President's Trophy. This is kind of going to be an interesting little series down in Florida. It gives Florida a chance to avenge some series past against Tampa Bay, who they could never get past. And I think this is going to be their chance to do that. Now, similar to the Caps, I'd never count on a series where Tampa Bay is in it, when you've got Vasilevsky in goal for them, and you got Steve Stamkos, and the reigning points champ Nikita Kucherov on the other side. But Florida, this team is built for the playoffs. They are built for a deep run. They can play any style of hockey. If you want to run up and down the ice, they can do that. Score 4 or 5 goals. If you want to play a real tough defensive game, they can do that. If they need to knock you on the ground, they're more than willing on doing that. I think Florida's got some guys. The only thing that they do have is they tend to get a lot of penalties because of how aggressive they play. The good news is for them, their penalty kill is phenomenal. So it's almost like they don't mind the penalties because they know they're going to be able to kill them. I think Florida gets off that schneid. I think that they're going to win this series, honestly, pretty easily. I have the Cats winning this in five.
Wow. Mm. I think you said it, Tampa Bay, Kucherov and Stamkos. I actually went opposite. Well, I guess I'm going opposite. I think it's six, and I think Tampa does something because they just have a way sometimes. Plus, we get Paul's team out of it. So,
and you said, man, I'm writing everything down here because I love predictions. You said Florida in five, right?
Florida in five. Yep.
All right, for that first matchup, you said the Rangers in five as well too.
Five or six. So I'll officially put six out there as the number.
All right. And Midnight Rider, you said Tampa Bay in
six. And six. Caps in seven.
And I got you down for Caps in seven. I'm with that Caps in seven, but just hope it don't. When you play these long series to start off, it takes so much out of you for the next round. And it seems like if you playing a team that's on long 8-9 day rest, and you're coming in off a 7-game series, it's almost, you know, if I looked at the record book here, let me flip through that. Most teams that play in NHL playoffs, what's that, 7-game series in the first round are 2,000,002.
Yeah.
You know, approximately, you know, but it's a hard win. All jokes aside, it's a hard win coming off a 7-game series. So I just hope, even a 6-game series, I hope these teams have enough energy left for the following round.
Yeah, it can be tough coming off the start, but then you also have that game one. Those are the ones where when you got the team that just finished the 7-game series and you got a team that maybe has been sitting around 3 or 4 nights, that's the getcha game because they're fresh because they've kept playing. They haven't gotten any rust into their game. So if that team can win game one, then that's when you can start being like, okay, they're going to be in the series again. But yeah, if they come out and that team just gets railroads them, then that's when you got to start thinking, uh-oh, this could be a short series coming back.
I don't know what order you have it in, but I'm taking it the Canes are your team. So let's go Boston and Toronto first. And then finish up the East with your team.
Yeah, I mean, this is another interesting matchup. It's an original six matchup. This is another one where Boston, over the last few years in the playoffs, has always had Toronto's number. Boston was the President's Trophy last year. Everyone was high on them. They were up 3-1 against Florida, and then Florida wins 3 in a row, and then they end up going on that amazing run that they go on all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. I think Boston's got that on their mind. There's a little bit of concern for them of are they, just kind of Boston, I think, had 16 or 17 games that they lost in overtime in the regular season, which that's how they got a point. So even though they're high in the points, a lot of it is that overtime point, which, guess what? In the playoffs, you don't get those anymore. You got to win the game. So I think there's some concerns for Boston, but Toronto likes to play an up and down game. They are not very good defensively. Their goaltending is still kind of questionable. Ilya Samsonov, might be a name that's familiar for Caps fans. He kind of started playing a little bit better towards the end of the year, but that team defensively is still not good. Their penalty kill is really bad, and Boston's power play is really good. And I think in the end, that's going to be the difference in the series. I think Toronto will keep it. Toronto's going to play him tough, but I think Boston wins this in 7.
I think 6. I got Boston, but I think it's 6. And it's kind of what you talked about, where I think it's going to come down to the special teams. You always talk about it. And I think this is where having that rock solid goalie and guys that can play on teams and have an advantage with your teams, whether it's your penalty kill or your power play. So, yeah, I got Boston in 6.
I can't argue that. I mean, that's a solid pick, too.
Oh, no, I like your 7. I just the way you described Tampa and from what I remember of them, They sound like the old Caps, like they can get up and down and score, but when you grind them out, they kind of crumble a little bit.
Agree.
Those Bruce Boudreaux Caps.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. Score all over the place, but just can't get over the snide when it's in the playoffs.
Nope.
All right, so here's the marquee matchup for you. You got the Hurricanes and the Islanders, correct?
Correct. Yeah, this is a rematch of last year's first round. Both teams are kind of in a little bit different spot. I think the Islanders, they fired their coach, Patty Waugh, Hall of Fame goaltender, came in, struggled a little bit, when he first got over, but he's trying to install basically a whole new defensive system. The Islanders have gotten a lot better defensively under him, and so they made it into that 3 spot. The Islanders are going to – they've got one really good line led with Bo Horvat. But they're not a deep team, and Carolina won all in for this year. They, of course, added our guy from the Capitals, and then they also added, of course, Jake Guentzel. So I think with those additions, the whole thing for Carolina over these last 3 or 4 years is they've been they're extremely good regular season team, but did they have enough scoring to get through and get all the way? And by adding these two guys, I think at least for this first series, If the Canes play that the way that they're capable of, and they get the goaltending that Freddie Anderson has given them since he's been back from injury, I don't expect this to be a long series. I think the Canes will take care of business, but this is going to be a good starting point for them because the Islanders are going to play a very physical game with them, and this is going to be key for the Canes to show that they can handle that physicality because that's been the thing with them in all these playoff runs is if you get physical with them like Florida did last year, they lose in the playoffs. They just don't have enough scoring to get through over the hump. I think Guentzel changes that for them. So I like the Canes in this one in 5.
Just add one for me. Canes in 6.
I'm writing all this down to let y'all know. So we once it's all said and done, especially the first round, of course we got to come back and break down the first round and then talk about the second round. So just Maddie, I want you on deck for that, to know that we got to talk about this all throughout.
I'm with you. I'm game.
All right.
So now
to the West, right?
As the Pioneers once said, go West, young fella.
So we've got some concerns with the West, because we're gonna do this based off of where the standings currently are. There are two teams that can still flip-flop. Vegas is up right now on the Kings. But if the Kings beat Chicago tonight, and if Vegas loses to Anaheim in regulation, then the Kings will be the three in the out of the Pacific, and then the Vegas goes down to the wild card two. So those two teams could flip-flop. If Vegas gets a point, meaning that they get it to overtime, then they have the tiebreaker on the Kings, and then they're locked in. I hope Vegas stays where they are, because if they stay where they are, then that is going to lead to what I think is the marquee matchup of this first round, which is Edmonton against Vegas. But we'll save that one for last, because that to me is the matchup to watch. If you're going to only watch one series in the playoffs, if it is those two teams going against each other, that's going to be the series to watch. But we'll start with Colorado and Winnipeg. Colorado made some heavy moves at the trade deadline. They've been kind of struggling back and forth. Winnipeg, led by their goalie Connor Hellebuyck, has just been – they're another consistent built team for the playoffs. They're a very physical team. It's another one of those series where Colorado wants to go up and down. Winnipeg has home ice advantage, and if you've not seen a Winnipeg home game in the playoffs, it's something to check out. They do what is called a whiteout. So everybody in that arena is wearing white. It's a cool thing to see. It makes it really hard to follow the puck, because not only is the ice white, but now you got everybody in the crowd wearing white. But it's something to check out. So for game one, whenever that gets announced, if you want to check that out, that's definitely something just to check out to see that you said it. This is going to be an interesting series. If Winnipeg plays their game, it's going to be low scoring. It's going to be physical. Colorado plays their game, you're going to see four or five goals getting scored a game. I think Winnipeg's going to win it. I think it's going to go all seven.
I'm an offensive guy, so I'm going to take Colorado in seven. And it's mostly because I think sometimes in playoffs, if you can get a team to get out early, they can sometimes change the momentum and take that home ice away from teams that like to pound it a little bit. So,
and Colorado could easily win this series. This is another one of those series where they're arguably of the 16 teams that are in the playoffs. I think you can make a strong argument for 12 of them to say they could win the cup. These are two of them. The it's kind of weird to me. Like in the matchups in the East, I honestly think chalk is going to hold, where the four top teams are the four best teams, which is going to set up the Eastern Conference semifinals could be just crazy good. In the West, they've got the first round matchups that, to me, this one and the Colorado Vegas or the Edmonton Vegas one, if that holds, these two series are going to be just incredible.
Felix says Winnipeg has an atmosphere I usually see in football, like the stands shaking at RFK levels of passion.
Yes, Winnipeg does that, and Carolina does that too. Remember, it's called the loudest house in hockey, and their decibel levels will usually hit 110 for a playoff game. And what makes Carolina hockey so unique is they're in the middle of Duke, NC State, and UNC. So the Carolina Hurricanes are the only team in that area that everyone gets behind, and the parking lot, they got a big, huge parking lot. So they tailgate like it's college football. It's crazy. But Winnipeg has a great atmosphere too. It's a small building. So small buildings always do well in the playoffs because they just get super loud.
All right. Where you want to go next, Matt? I'm gonna let you guide this.
We'll go with what should be Vancouver and Nashville. Yeah, this matchup features the two coaches that are likely going to be up for the coach of the year, Rick Tocchet in Vancouver and Andrew Brunette in Nashville. Brunette's another name that should ring some bells from Capitals fans. He did have a few seasons there with the Caps. Now he's a coach. He's done really well with Nashville. Vancouver, they're led by Quinn Hughes on defense. He's one of their they're another one of those all around really built teams. Nashville was arguably the third best team in the NHL since January. They went on like a 15-16 game streak where they got a point in every game to get them into this spot. I think unless Saros in goal for Nashville can steal two or three games, I think Vancouver is going to be a little bit too much for them, though. So I'm taking Vancouver in six.
I like Vancouver in five.
Yeah, I gave Saros two games. That's the only reason why I went six.
No, I know. That's why when you said it, you changed my mind from six to five.
I noticed each game you guys would pick five. Nobody's getting swept.
I never pick sweeps. I just don't pick sweeps. It's too random to happen. It's just I always give teams a credit that they're going to win a game. I'm never going to say a team's going to get swept.
And then you also got to think about just the puck luck that happens, the injury that can happen. I think there's too many factors in there where it's just going to happen where you get at least one win. The gentleman's sweep in basketball.
And I like that puck luck. I like that.
I mean, the Caps had some the other night. I mean, that angle for that last shot was ridiculous. Like, nine times out of ten, you don't make that shot if you're Oshie. But we got the one time.
Yep. And he had Philly had a goal called back early in the first period, which was the right call. I mean, the goalie, the ref lost sight of the puck. I've been there, done that, where you lose sight of the puck, you blow the whistle. It wasn't a continuation play because it ricocheted off of bodies after that, so you couldn't go with the continuation where the whistle didn't matter because guys let up at that point in time. So, they got a little bit of a break there in that situation too, but that happens, from game to game.
All right, so let's get to the
Yeah, so these are the two that should be the matchups. You got Dallas and LA. Dallas, another team, they've got a great goaltending. They've got great defense. They've got guys that can score. Robertson is fun to watch on the ice when he gets going. I think Dallas might be the most complete team in the West. There's a lot of really, really good teams that could get hot and get going. I think Dallas is top down. From goaltender to defense to offense, I think they're the best team out there. If they get LA, now again, I'm not picking any team to get swept. If there was a team that could sweep somebody, I think this is the series where Dallas could sweep LA. It just LA's okay, but they just don't match up well against Dallas. This is going to be a short series. I think Dallas wins it in five.
Totally agree. From everything I've been looking at so far, yeah. And then Dallas also comes in a little. They what? Eight of the last 10, something like that.
Yep, they're on a roll coming in.
Yeah, I like that. I like teams with momentum.
And the last game they lost, their spot was pretty much sewn up. They rested some of their guys too, so I don't even put a lot into that last loss that they had.
Jeez. Okay.
And then the series that can change.
So this is the one that right now, and this is the matchup. I think probably a lot. A lot of people are hoping for is Edmonton and Vegas, because what's crazy is I think a lot of people have these two teams as being cup favorites, and one of them's going home in the first round. So you've got Vegas, the defending champs. They made some moves at the end of the year to get a couple guys. They got Hurdle from San Jose. Mark Stone is coming off of what's called the long-term injury list, and the NHL has this loophole, and there are teams. Tampa Bay did this during their cup run. Vegas did it a little bit last year where you make moves at the trade deadline based off the fact that you can take guys off of your cap because they're hurt. Once you get into playoffs, there's no longer a salary cap. So these guys can then come back in, and even though your team is technically, quote, over the cap, unquote, they're okay to play. Vegas is going to have that again this year. They still haven't played well since they've even added some of these guys, and I think some of it's just can they get used to each other and gel in time? They've got Aiden Hill in goal. Edmonton is, of course, led by McDavid and Draisaitl, but their big turnaround has been when they started playing better defensively and Stuart Skinner started learning how to play goal. So if Edmonton can get the defense and goaltending, they will match up well with Vegas and give Vegas a run for their money. But the pressure is on Edmonton. Edmonton is probably the team that I think everyone thinks could bring a cup back to Canada. That pressure has been on them for 3 or 4 years. They overall have not done well with that pressure. Now you're putting a goaltender into that situation for the first time. How does he cope with it? If he copes with it, Edmonton's winning this series. If he doesn't cope with it, Vegas is winning the series. And I think the pressure is going to get to him. And I think Vegas being there, being the defending cup champions, they figure it out enough to put it together. And they win this in 7 amazing games.
I feel like I'm being an antagonist in some of this because I'm with you in the thought process. And the only reason I don't take Vegas is because game 7 ends up in Edmonton.
Correct.
So that's why I take Edmonton to finish it out. Because I think Vegas has a great home ice advantage, and they play their style of hockey too, the way the puck comes off the boards, and they're in their zone. So I think if they had one more game, I would take Vegas in 7, but I'm going to take Edmonton in 7 because I think I might even have said that Edmonton might win the cup this year. Can't remember if I did or not.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those series you can make your arguments for both teams to win the series and go on to win the cup. I'd like to say it's an incredible first round matchup that these two teams. And this is where some people argue about having, you know, should it be seeded 1 through 8 instead of the way that they do this, so that way you don't have these types of matchups in the first round. But at the same time, you know, they're trying, the whole point of them setting this up is you're trying to build rivalries. So you're going to have Carolina and the Islanders playing each other for the 2nd year in a row. That series is not going to take long to get heated. You're going to have Boston playing Toronto, original 6 teams. That series is not going to take long to get heated. You're going to have the Rangers playing the Capitals, you know, two old foes that go way back, you know, as well. So that series is not going to take long to get heated. And that's why they want these type of matchups, is that they are looking for that immediate spark of intensity that only the NHL playoffs bring.
No, I think it's the right thing. I didn't like it, but I get it. And I think it before somebody kind of broke it down that way to me, I just didn't like your best two teams playing in the 2nd round, which used to always be the Caps and the Penguins. So from that standpoint, it bothered me. But when you talk about the rivalries and then you build these things up where there's so much in the building itself, like these buildings are not going to be quiet places. You're not going to be able to read a book or anything like that. They're going to be loud. They're going to be jumping. And they're going to be jumping from the start. That's the one thing. I think all playoffs are like this, but I'll never forget that one playoff baseball game we went to, the 2012 Game 5, and it was just like the energy. It was so electric. And that electricity was just there the whole time until they got out to that early lead. And then they kind of died because they were up and people relaxed. But like, this is when I started watching hockey. Like, this is what I mean by that. Like, when I was younger, even if I didn't pay attention during the regular season, I always watched the playoffs. And I always caught a couple games because the intensity. And then people always say it, the playoffs. I mean, the overtime. The overtime is the best. Because it's sudden death, the next goal wins.
So I'm going to give you guys what my secret power is. You ready to hear the secret power that I have? I've been able to do this forever of watching playoff hockey. Because, you know, you get one of these West Coast games, right? And you get a game that goes to overtime. That overtime isn't starting until midnight our time. I can lay down on the couch, fall asleep, and then the second the puck drops to start overtime, I wake up. That's my superpower. So, and like the kids, even like my kids will sit there and watch me. Okay, are you gonna try to take a nap and watch? And I do. And then they don't cheat. They don't wait. And then as soon as it's just something about that transformation where they go from the studio back to the ice, I hear it and boom, I wake up and they're like, he did it again. It's unreal.
My superpower is a little bit different. I fall asleep on the first game and then wake up midway through the 2nd game. That's my superpower.
Oh, man. Look, you guys are way out of my realm. I ain't got my superpower yet. Normally, if I'm what was it? It was a Caps playoff game, and everybody was at the house. I was cooking on the grill and everything, and I sat down, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to nod off because I've been up since about 5 a.m. I couldn't go to sleep. I watched the whole entire game. Animated and everything. I need that superpower, man. What what spider bitch y'all? What camera ray hit you? Like, I need that, man.
Nah, you don't want mine. Mine will have you missing the game and going back on your phone looking at highlights.
I do that enough during the NFL season, so.
Anything you got to wrap close us out, Matt? Any nuggets we need to know?
I think that's it for the first round. You know, it's going to be some of these series are going to be crazy good. It's just it's and they set it up well. It's going to be fun. You know, you got to win 16 games. These are the hardest 16 games to win. Each game gets harder and harder to win. You know, you get a team that's on the brink. That's the hardest one to win until you get to the next series. It's going to be something. I think overall, my honest top two favorite teams, I think, are Dallas and Florida to get there. I think Dallas wins it, but we'll see what happens. And that's coming. You know, trust me, I'd love to see my Canes do it. That second series against the Rangers is going to be crazy good, and we'll see what happens. But I like Dallas, and I can't find anybody that's going to beat Florida in a 7-game series in the East, and that includes my Canes.
So we'll do it this way. We heard you say you like Dallas and Florida, but we're going to give you a clean slate each round.
Okay.
So that way you can start afresh. So if you need to change for some reason, you can change it. No questions asked. There will be no penalties. This is like an Etch-A-Sketch. All we're going to do is shake it up after the round's over and start a
deal.
We might have some young people watching, trying to figure out what the hell an Etch-A-Sketch is.
Right.
Yeah.
Go watch it. Go watch Elf. There you go. That's in.
Show my age just now.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that. Etch-A-Sketch is absolutely awesome. I would love to get one, a real one. Not that mini one. I want the big one. But, man, this right here, I've been looking forward to this all day. And I love the simple fact that Maddie says Dallas and Florida, correct?
Yep.
That's my gut, yep.
And see, me, I'm thinking rematch of, what was that, 2020? Las Vegas Caps, but I'm a homer. Because I had Las Vegas. I think when we talked trade deadline, I think I had Las Vegas. And
you probably did.
They haven't lived up to expectations, so.
They have had a lot of injuries, in fairness, and that's where they're getting all those guys back. But the question is going to be for Vegas is, can they gel in time when it matters most? And they probably can. You know, they've all been there before. It's a very seasoned team. Vegas is another team, too. If you get to see their starting, their little thing they do pregame, it's great to see. They probably have the greatest anthem singer left out of the bunch, Cordell Jones or Johnson, I can't remember what his last name is. He's got pipes, man. He's a great. I love nothing better than a good anthem. And
I was about to say, you're the anthem guy.
I do love him. I love him. Sonya down in Tampa Bay, she does a solid anthem. She's probably my second favorite anthem. If I had to rate them, they'd probably want to. The guy in Edmonton's really good too. So that I look forward to those, and you get the guys from Washington too. So they're in my top five too for sure.
There you go.
The Army guys.
No place else gives you the top five anthem singers at hockey arenas.
my kids laugh at me about that too, because I'm like I think I look forward sometimes more to the anthem than sometimes the game, especially in the regular season. But when it comes to playoffs, they're all equally good. But I still love the anthem, so I get mad when they don't show them.
It's the funny because the second you started saying it, like this little thing went off, like my spider sense kicked in. And I was like, wait a second. He's big on this. So, yeah, I, the second you started talking, I was like, yeah. Because I think we had a conversation on Facebook a couple years ago, and you were talking about it.
Yep.
Because I think whatever game I caught first, I was talking about the anthem, and you was like, oh, that's such and such. And I was like, what? Who knows this? Why do you know this?
Maddie Ice knows it.
All around hockey coverage. Well, I see the thing at the bottom. Wrap it up, baby. Matt, you got anything in closing?
No, I appreciate you guys having me on. I was happy to do this. I was glad I was able to stop on my drive in Philly. I still got 4 more hours after this. So that could get a little brutal later on tonight. But so I'll have to find some good music to keep me awake.
Wait. You're in the right place. you're in the right place now. It depends on what genre you want to go with, because we got it all.
I know. I'm an 80s kid, but 80s only goes for so long. So I might try to find some good jazz tonight, I think. Some good upbeat jazz. I can't have the slow jazz tonight. I need some good upbeat jazz, I think.
Okay.
You could watch yourself on replay on YouTube. Dog, trust me, I've done that before. Like at 2 o'clock, I'm up because you guys don't know, but I don't sleep from 2 to like 4. My friend nicknamed it my sub morning. But yeah, during my sub morning, I'll sit there, and if I can't find anything to watch, and I don't feel like watching Moneyball or Silver Lining Playbook for the 10 millionth time, it's right over to us, catches for at least a half hour. And then realize this kind of feels obnoxious that I'm sitting here watching myself on TV. And then it's like, if you can't love yourself, who can you love?
Exactly.
Well, that's true. I mean, there's also Law and Order, too.
Nah, I can't do that show.
What?
I've probably watched bits and pieces of Law and Order. I don't know if I've ever watched the whole episode.
I'm not even gonna get into it.
I don't like stuff like that for me. I'm weird like that. If I don't start the show, then I'm not just jumping into the show midstream.
I'm gonna leave you alone.
Okay.
Because 25 years of Law and Order. It used to be every Wednesday.
I'm good.
Like I used to be late going to work because of Law and Order, SVU, new episodes. I used to be late going to work when I worked at Home Depot. I had to be to work at 10. It came on at 9. I would leave the house at 9:55.
See, my that I get stuck on are the Impractical Jokers. And for some reason, as long as the Charlie Sheen episodes, I can watch 2 and a Half Men, even though I've seen every show of that show, every episode, at least like 5 times, maybe 10. And I just, hey, I don't know what it is.
That might be The Office for me. That's the show that I can watch. It doesn't matter how many times I've seen an episode, I can watch it again and again.
There you go. Now you got TV. What else we got left? Oh, we do have some news out of the NBA. What is it? Jonte Porter? The kid that got banned for life?
Banned for life.
Somehow he only made $21,000 off of all the bets that he made.
I thought it was 222,000. I thought it was up in the hundreds of thousands.
No, he may have placed that much, but his net profit was like 22 grand or something crazy like that. It really wasn't like his net was just not worth all the effort that he spent doing it. And he was dumb because he was placing the bets and then he would get himself pulled out of games or he would get sick or fake an injury. So that way the under would hit.
Have we not learned anything from previous mistakes when it comes to
this is the tip of the iceberg.
Have we not learned anything?
We haven't, and we won't. Because in 5 years or 10 years, we'll have the Ohtani 30 for 30. And we'll have some breaking news on that. The interpreter will come out and say it was Ohtani the whole time. Like, we're going to have some things, some scandals around gambling because it's so prevalent. It's everywhere you go, everywhere you look. And the fact that, you know, these players, they want to gamble too. All the leagues promote it. So, I mean, what do you expect? It's the gift and the curse. And that's part of your argument. I just led you right into your argument. Go ahead, KG.
This is crazy because this dude's still on this rookie contract.
Right.
So you squandered away your whole entire career. And the second person to get a lifetime ban is Roy Tarpley in 95 off of gambling. Bro, are you serious? I'm good. I'm not even going to get into it.
In Hoops News, WNBA in particular, and this is going to be a trend that you're going to see when it comes to the Indiana Fever. I know the Mystics have moved their game already to the Cap One mm-hmm. from the Sports and Learning Center. So I know at the time the way it was set up, the Sports and Learning Center, the lowest price ticket for that game was $190 something. So, yeah, and that's been a couple places. I know a couple places that they've gone from whatever the smaller arena is and reached out to the NBA team or whatever the arena was that they used to play in, and gotten the bigger stage for those games. And I just had this argument with a coworker. She was like, I don't understand why these girls don't make this that much. I was like, you gotta have the revenue. It's part of the reason why I posted the attendance or the average attendance last season. And I think for all these people that think it's unfair, I mean, you can't have a league where you pay the players more than the money you make. I mean, you fighting back, you hustling backwards.
Yeah.
If you only bring in 40 mil, you can't pay 10 mil to a one player. But we'll see the revenues go up a little bit this year. The key kicker is, will this be sustained or will this be a flash in the pan? Like, will America be like, oh, I've had my fill of this and walk away from it? Because they've done it before. You had the big stretch with women's soccer. Then you had WSL, and then it didn't translate.
Same thing with tennis.
So you gotta figure out, they gotta get it to translate. Because you're gonna have big numbers with Caitlin this year. Question is, can she keep up the performance? Because people are gonna be gunning for it. And that's the one thing I tried to say, and somebody called me a hater, but like she's getting everybody's best shot because she's getting the clout as if she's the best player in the league. So the Taurasis, all of them, they want that challenge. She's going to have a bounty on her head. The bounty's going to look like it's going to be three jars in the thing. They're going to have one for D'ing her up, trying to keep her under a certain number of points, crossing her over, and winning the ball game probably, or something like that, like more points. Like she's going to be attacked at a level that I hope that people understand, and it's not hate. This is people being competitive and feeling like you got put on a pedestal. And we're going to have to knock you off this pedestal because we've been doing this for years. So don't mistake for hate.
Here's the thing. Not saying that she's comparable to another rookie that came in and that was highly heralded. Michael Jordan faced the same thing. LeBron James faced the same thing. Not saying that she's coming in like that, but they faced the same thing coming into a league with this aura around them. So you have to understand this is just the ebb and flow. People are saying, well, the old guard is hating on her because she getting more than them. And then people were throwing, well, she's getting a signature shoe. Why Asia Wilson don't have a signature shoe? It's not about who has and who doesn't. It's about marketability. So you have lightning in a bottle. You caught lightning in a bottle. You have to do something with that. Because the last time you caught lightning in a bottle, you did nothing with it. When you had all of the UConn players that came out, the Swing Cashes, Sue Bird, Taurasi, you had all of them. That was lightning in the bottle. When you had that whole team spread out again throughout the league, you did nothing with it. When you had Candace Parker, you did nothing with it.
I don't see you got to also understand that the world, the greatest trick this world always plays is like making you think they want the underdog. They don't want the underdog. They want the known commodity. They want that person that they feel is the best at whatever they do, the person that is the trendsetter, and they will follow that person. It's almost like it's akin to golf right now. Golf doesn't have a Tiger Woods. I mean, Scottie Scheffler is dominant, but Scottie Scheffler won't be able to carry the league like Tiger did. And they don't have that guy. And that's another sport that had that problem. NASCAR had like a bounce, but they struggled a little bit. They've gotten it back. But there are sports that they had this lightning ball, like you said. But if you don't take care of it the right way and nurture it, it's gone in a flash.
agreed. I'll say this. When it comes to endorsement deals, don't look at it as, well, why is she getting this, but so-and-so didn't get that. Look at it more along the lines of, all right, she opened the door, because once she gets her money and it's marketable, everybody else can start getting their money as well. Because when nobody wanted to sign with Nike, right? Nike does the Jordan thing, gives him a signature shoe. Then he opened the door not only for himself, he opened the door for Charles Barkley, Scottie Pippen. Then you get the pennies. And the top two selling Nike signature shoes are Jordan and Air Penny. So you got to think of it along those terms. It's opening the door. Don't see it as she's getting all this shine right now. Yeah, let her get it. Let her get it. So it's going to work out as a whole for everybody. Okay? It's like Novocaine. Give it a little time to work.
Oh, and before we get out of here, I really want to give another special shout out to Matt. He hit me up. It's funny, when he hit me up, I think you texted me right after it. But he was ready to go. And we just got to, I know we got a couple other people that like hockey and know a little bit of hockey. So we might be able to get us a hockey roundtable soon.
Oh, that'd be great. And I'll say this. Matt had to go. He had to go. He had to get back on the road. He said, he said, sorry, got the signal to fly. And had to fly. So he had to go. This is something that I only dreamed about when we first started this show. Having a community where you can talk all along the lines. You know, you have your hockey experts. You have your baseball experts. You have your NFL, your NBA experts. Everybody that, you know, has a sport that may not be mainstream to everybody, but you can come in and you can teach. And having this platform to be able to sit down with people that are like-minded and talk. I haven't been this interested in NHL playoffs where we're breaking down stats in years. You know, normally it's just watch the game. Okay, did the Caps win? All right, the Caps won. All right, I'm good. Now, sitting here breaking down stats, and here's the thing that you didn't see behind the scenes. Matty Ice did a Word document with everything that he talked about. And I read through that Word document. I was like, damn. And I started writing down. I was like, no, I'm just going to leave it up on the screen and keep going back to it. He wrote a Word document and rolled with it. Impress is the understatement. He made this show what it is. I love having NHL tonight. I can't wait until we start getting really into MLB and we start talking about the Nats and everything. It's beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful to have this community that we have with the Sideline Junkies. So, big shout out to Duval Paul, Matty Ice, Thanos, a.k.a. Ross. You know, everything everybody does. JoJo. I see Felix in the comments. Every man, big shout out to everybody. It don't matter if you contribute on screen, behind the scenes, in the group, in the comments. It don't matter how you contribute. It's greatly appreciated. A couple comments before we go. Felix says, I only know it from Toy Story when we were talking about the Etch-A-Sketch.
Got you.
JoJo said they definitely coming out of talking about Caitlin Clark and talking about the WNBA. You got to right decades of wrongs. Yes, because once you started having contraction in the WNBA where you started having teams fold, the comments are your first dynasty. And not to have that team in existence anymore is a problem. The Detroit Shock, all those teams that got contracted because you didn't take and you didn't build the league after that initial first 4 to 5 years.
Well, I think they tried to build it too fast. I think that was the problem. I think you went to a couple places where you didn't. Like, I think their niche is you get a couple of the big cities, but you got to get a couple of these smaller cities involved as well. Places that don't have sports, and give them a reason to come out to ball games. I mean, somebody talked about South Beach, and I think, why can I think of his name now?
Perry
was like South Florida summertime. Ah, like you got to be very conscious of where you go next. There's just certain places that are interesting, and then not to go get off of this subject, but I got to transition a little bit because we talk hockey all show, and tomorrow, the Arizona Coyotes, the Phoenix Coyotes, they move to Utah, to Salt Lake City tomorrow. So we'll get the unveiling of whatever Utah, whether it's Salt Lake City Hockey Club or whatever their name's going to be. You're going to get that tomorrow. You'll get new colors and uniforms put on display for tomorrow. So just another thing that's in the Wrap It Up B segment.
What's crazy is when I saw they were moving to Utah, I said they won't be able to use the Stars name because every team that moves to Utah always uses the Stars. You had an ABA team called the Utah Stars. You had a WNBA team called the Utah Stars. They won't be able to use the Stars because aren't the Dallas still the Stars?
Yeah.
So, but I feel bad for cities like that where their teams leave. They up and leave at the drop of a hat. That announcement was just made a week ago. That hurts. And JoJo says, we need Matty Ice FanDuel picks for the NHL. Yeah.
I don't think Matty Ice is a gambler. I think, JoJo, you and I are the only two degenerates in the group.
Only two.
She pulled up a stat the other day, like zero home runs in the game. I was like, who finds this stuff? It's JoJo. No offense, but I love her. Some of the craziest bets I've ever placed, I've gotten from JoJo. Like, I've seen her post, and because we have a called Savage Bettors. There's a guy, Terry, that Tycoon Terry, that, I mean, he puts in bets, and next thing you know, all you hear is the cash register. He going to the window collecting. It's not every day, but it feels like it's every day. But yeah, JoJo, we got to find somebody else for that.
Mm. Well, we had that mark, you know. Let's get on up out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us tonight. Matty Ice, I know you're on the road. Thank you for coming in, rocking the segment. We'll be back. He'll be back once the second round starts. As far as I know, talk to the People's Choice, Don Rodriguez. Saturday, the WrestleManiacs will be back in the building to get it going. Of course, the Midnight Rider, the Boss BJ, and myself will be here on Sunday to do picks 1 through 3. I'm sorry, 3 through 1.
Right.
Of the NFL draft in that order. Then, of course, we got the NFL draft next Thursday. So we will be live in some form or fashion for at least the first, I guess, 4 picks.
What, the question for that is, what time is that? An 8 o'clock start?
I believe so.
Please tell me they starting at 8, because if they start at 7, I'm done.
Yeah.
So this 8 o'clock. Yeah, I'll be good for that. We'll probably start with at 7:45, and do like a little quick preview, and then jump right into it. What else do I need to say? Maybe I can see if I can get Jack. That way you get another perspective. Another guy I do All In Sports with. I know we're doing a draft show, I guess Saturday or Sunday. And if I can pick his brain or get him to jump in with us, maybe Tuesday, that might be something we can try to pull off.
Okay, because I'm hearing a lot of rumors about what what the Commanders are doing. Concept. Yeah, I'm not talking about it. I'm just hearing a lot of rumors, and I'm following up. I'm like a old school reporter. I got the little hat on with the press pass up in the top, and I'm running around just checking on stuff. So,
all right,
ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you for joining us. That's the Midnight Rider. I'm the big guy, KG. Matty Ice had to run. Again, thank you for joining us. We are the Sideline Junkies. We don't do no overtime, baby. We are out of here.